Thank you, everybody, for all of these preliminaries and our professionals joining us tonight. Robert Henley and Keziah Glow are both very familiar with dealing with technical difficulties and exigencies of what's happening around us. All right, we are not going to go on the stream. We are recording. I am Susan Young. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the Pacifica National Board regular session teleconference meeting.
Susan, I don't think we're recording yet. I think we're going to need to start again.
It says this meeting is being
recorded. It said it's recording, asked us to get approval. Yeah. It says so now.
I apologize.
Okie dokie. No, it's better to be safe than sorry. Okie dokie. Thursday, January 9th, 2025, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. And we are starting a bit late because of our technical difficulties, which is at 8:39. Madam Secretary, will you be kind to take the roll?
Indeed. Irene Adams?
Present. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Irene.
Teresa Allen?
Present.
Thank you, Teresa. Kaja Brown? I'll keep going. Donna Carter? Donna Carter said she needed an excused absence. Paul DiRienzo?
Here.
Thank you, Paul. Jim Dingaman? I'll keep going. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
I'm here.
Thank you, Vanessa. Fred Dodsworth?
I'm here.
Thank you, Fred. Jan Goodman?
Jan Goodman is here, but I'm wondering, can somebody put something on KPFTX to say that it's not going to stream because of
We did.
Just refresh your page and you'll see it, but I'm marking Jan Goodman as present.
I'm here. Great.
Heather Gray?
Here.
Thank you, Heather. Avalia Jones?
Present.
Thank you, Avalia. Zach Caldvier?
Present.
Thank you, Zach. Marianne Martinez?
Here.
Thank you, Marianne. Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. Ron Pinchback? I'll keep going. Myla Reason?
I'm here.
Thank you, Myla. Sean Rhodes?
I'm here.
Thank you, Sean. Serene Roberts?
Present.
Thank you, Serene. Minerva Sanders?
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Harvey Wasserman?
I'm here and we're surrounded by fires.
Thank you, Harvey. Egberto Willis?
I'm here.
Thank you, Egberto. Let me go back around and see if anybody joined us. Kaja Brown?
And Susan Young?
Oh, I'm sorry. Susan Young, are you here? Thank you. Let me go back around. Kaja Brown? Jim Dingaman?
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Ron Pinchback?
Here.
Thank you, Ron. Okay, so that's... Kaja is the only person I haven't heard from, so we'll watch for Kaja. I'm calling the names of others. Stephanie Wells, we have heard from... won't be available for this evening's meeting because of, the fires in Southern California. Arthur Schwartz. I don't think
I expect him to come later.
Got it. Julie Hewitt, I am here. Madam Chair, you have quorum.
Wonderful. And I'd like to also recognize several of the people who are joining us, especially for this meeting. And let me start with the incoming PNB member for WPFW. You all have held your elections and you know who will be serving. And Dennis Williams, Julie Hewitt, and Minerva Sanders will all be listener member representatives. Ron Pinchback, I understand, will continue as the staff representative. And Dennis, you've been the immediate past, you're the immediate past chair of your local station board, aren't you?
That's correct. Yes.
Wonderful. I've let Dennis know that he is a a listener here today that he doesn't have a vote until January 30th. But we look forward to working with you in the future year. And then we've got two other guests, and those are Robert Henley and Keziah Glow. And let me just take a couple of minutes. Let me tell you some of what's happening. Robert Henley is the interim general manager at WBAI, and Keziah Glow is the interim program director. Not only are they doing remarkable work at their own station, but they are part of the team that is backing up KPFK in these extraordinary times. And what I think they're helping to do with KPFK is to fashion a model for how we work across the network, stations supporting each other. So one thing I understand is that, for instance, Miyuki at WPFW has helped to craft PSAs to go on air at KPFK. Bob and Keziah will give us more information under the ED report about what all they're doing. Myla and others at LA will be able to chime in. And in advance of that little conversation, Bob and Keziah, I'll give people a little bit more about your background. The next item up, we've done the call to order. Next item up is report out from executive sessions, December 19th. The PNB met in executive session to discuss confidential legal and personnel matters and to hear a report from the personnel committee about the 2024 performance evaluation of the executive director and adopted two motions. Oh, by the way, a report out for the benefit of those who are not usually with us, it gets posted, and it is what is available to the public to know about what the what occurred in the executive session. The first motion was, be it resolved that the PNB extends the ED employment agreement by 12 months through 2026. The second motion passed is, be it resolved that the PNB shall include in the ED job description an employment agreement that the executive director has the authority to develop and implement foundation-wide policies and standard operating procedures for the organization's overall operations and administrative management. So that is, those will be posted. Those are the report outs from the executive sessions. We have had, I believe the college asked for an excused absence. We've had at least one excused absent request, and that was Darlene. Is there any objection to excusing the absences of Donna Carter and, thank you very much, and Kaja Brown? Hearing none, they're excused. Identified timekeepers. So, we have our stalwarts, and I already twisted Irene's arm. And Irene, are you willing to serve as the timekeeper for topics?
And I will, Susan, as my last hurrah. Thank you so much.
Well, we're grateful for all your hurrahs, and I'm sure you will continue to hurrah in one capacity or another, okay?
Okay.
Fred, the Morley hirsute Fred, are you willing to be timekeeper for people?
With great reluctance.
And so let us note, when we adopt the agenda, there are times associated with each of the items. After the agenda is adopted, it requires a 2/3 vote to extend the times. And we have certain procedures for exhausting the stack. And if there's no objection, we can extend time, but there frequently is, because we try to stay on top of things. So I'm going to read through the agenda. Agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, 5 minutes. Committee reports, 20 minutes. One is the Finance Committee. See the appendix for their two motions there. One is the Personnel Committee. See the appendix for a motion there. Next is the ED report and Q&A, 30 minutes. And we will be devoting that time, at least the strong portion of it, to Bob and Keziah to tell us how the collaborative effort is going for backing up KPFK and meeting these extraordinary emergencies. General Counsel report, Q&A, 5 minutes. Minutes approval. Now, when we get to that point, Julie will explain that we have caught up with the minutes with the wonderful assistance of somebody from KPFA, Steve Kukala. And he has done a boatload of work, and Julie has reviewed all of that in conjunction with listening through the recordings. And so there are a bunch of minutes. We're going to ask you to approve them, understanding that they can be amended in the future, but this permits us to go ahead and start posting them. There are minutes from March 21, April 18, June 6, July 20, July 18, August 15, September 5, and September 19. And we'll remind a little bit of this when we get there again. Old business, motion from Paul DiRienzo regarding Gaza, motion from Serene Roberts regarding subcarrier income, new business, 5 minutes. And then we will move to adjourn into closed session at 10 o'clock Eastern time, time certain. Is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. So the first item on the agenda is committee reports, finance committee. Darlene, NFC chair, would you be kind to take it?
Yes, and I have had a day which cannot be compared to KPFT in any way, but it's been a killer of a day for me. So the motion from the finance committee, this is about the Pacifica National Office draft budget, which has been approved by the PNB. It's been on the agenda several times. We don't get to it. You have copies close to the top of your email. I think this is the fifth send of that agenda, but always trying to keep it up top. And so here is the motion. Resolve that the PNB approves the Pacifica National Office draft budget for fiscal year 2025. Is there anybody who has a question or a point to make about this?
Let me just remind, because this is a motion from a committee, no second is required. Questions for Darlene or for the committee? Is there any objection to approving the national office budget that has been previously distributed several times?
Myla's waving her hand.
Huh? Okay, Myla's
waving her hand.
Thank you, Myla.
And I just unmuted. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I believe, and I don't know if this is the appropriate time to say it, that we also covered the issue of subcarrier. Subcarriers, no? Okay.
No, we'll deal with that at a future meeting. We neglected to put it.
Finance committee did deal with that with Stephanie. We had a conversation about it during the finance committee meeting. And I believe wasn't part of it, Darlene, that the budget included
Myla?
No?
We're dealing with two motions right now.
I understand that. I'm talking about the budget for the Pacifica office, the one that we're talking
about. That's what we're doing right now, Myla.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about. And I believe that budget had something in it about the subcarriers. Am I mistaken about that?
Not the budget. There was a separate discussion to clear that up.
And it's not included in the budget?
It's not included in the budget.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. So
is there any objection to approving the national office budget as had been distributed several times?
This is Serene. I wish to abstain, and I have a question for the chair. For the
okay. Excellent. Please, this is approved with recognizing abstention from Serene. What's your question for the chair, Serene?
So I would request that for each of the budgets that we've approved, each of the unit budgets that have come through, that you arrange for the Finance Committee, somebody, you are the secretary, to provide the date that the budget was approved at its LSB meeting, at the National Finance Committee, and then at the PNB, so that if someone wants, for example, to just track the record of their station's budget, they know exactly which meetings to go listen to. Is that something that you all can do?
Yes. So, Darlene, do you mind if we follow up on that?
Yes, I wrote it down.
Yes, I'd like to make it a motion.
We're in the middle of motions right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's not needed, Serene. We'll follow through on it.
I'm sorry. May I see? The last time I was told, oh, don't make a motion. We'll get the information.
Your 90 seconds is up.
Was when I asked what the process was for stations that are deemed to be in crisis. And that response is still pending. It's been a year.
Actually, no, we did respond to it. Serene, I'm finding your request out of order. We are dealing with this informally. No motion is needed. And actually, there was a total response to that. And we'll go back and look at the record previously and get it for you. Okay. Darlene?
Yes. I look forward to that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Second motion. We're back to the Pacific, the National Office budget. Whereas the Pacifica National Board has passed budgets for the 2025 fiscal year for KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WPFW, WBAI, and the Affiliates Network, and now also National Office. Therefore, be it resolved that the PNB hereby directs the Pacifica Executive Director to communicate to all division management and members of the National Finance Committee that the central services formula for the fiscal year of 2025 will be the amount designated as projected central services revenue from each station as specified in the PNO's fiscal year 25 proposed budget sent originally November 19th, 2024, and as specified in the division's PNB approved fiscal year 25 budgets. Reminder, that's for KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WPFW, WBAI, and the Pacifica affiliates. And be it further resolved that the fiscal year 25 division's projected funds for central service fees will be divided into 12 monthly payments or 24 bi-monthly payments for the fiscal year of 2025, and that Pacifica management is hereby authorized to provide direct oversight to division management to ensure timely payments for all fiscal year budgeted central service fees. That did pass as well in the NFC.
No second is required. Are there any questions to pose to Darlene and committee members?
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Serene.
So the last piece about national management is empowered to, work with or direct division management?
To provide direct oversight to division management.
Okay, thanks. Doesn't the ED already have authority of oversight with regard to general managers?
Yes.
So why are we repeating it?
So, Serene, it is not in conflict. The NFC wanted to make
this
clear.
I was asking the chair. I was asking the chair of the committee.
Susan Young is also on the committee.
She's not the chair of the committee. I'm asking the chair of the committee.
Argumentative.
I'll turn it over. I'll let Susan. I will ask Susan to finish. And if that doesn't satisfy the request, I'll be here.
Yes, and thank you. Actually, all inquiries need to be posed to the chair who refers them to the committee. Yes, the committee felt very strongly that it wanted to be very clear about what they were expecting of the executive director. There was a lot of discussion around this language. And so I think that there's no need to amend the motion, as it is not in conflict with anything that is appropriate for the ED to do. Any other questions or comments on this motion? Are there any objections to passing the motion? Hearing none, it's adopted. Okay, the next item up is the Personnel Committee. And Teresa Allen has been the chair. Teresa, are you ready to take on this item?
I suppose I am. So do you want to have someone read this motion?
Would you like to, or would you like me to, or Julie? Doesn't matter.
Let's have Julie do it if she can. Thank you very much. Sorry, right. I'm getting having a little difficulty going from screen to screen.
I got it right here. Okay, so I'm reading the motion from the Personnel Committee. The Personnel Committee moves that the Pacifica National Board specify the appropriate procedure for local station boards to conduct their role in developing pools of candidates for the general manager position and the program director. Whereas Article 7, Local Station Boards, Section 3, Specific Powers and Duties provides, quote, each LSB acting as a standing committee of the foundation's board of directors shall have the following powers and duties, powers, duties, and responsibilities related to its specific radio station under the direction and supervision of the foundation's board of directors, .. Paragraph B, to screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of general manager of the respective radio station, from which pool of candidates the executive director shall hire the station's general manager. The LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose, .. Paragraph E, to screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of station program director, from which pool of approved candidates the station's general manager shall hire the station's program director, the LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose, end quote. Therefore, the Pacifica National Board specifies the following procedure for local station boards to develop pools of candidates for the position of general manager and for the position of program director. One, the job descriptions for the position of GM and the position of PD will be those determined by the executive director. Two, job postings for the position of GM and the position of PD will be made by the ED on the Pacifica.org website, on websites for the five stations and all affiliates and other publications as deemed appropriate by the ED with the advice of the LSB. Three, the resumes and expressions of interest for the position of GM and the position of PD will be returned to an email address designated by the executive director. Four, the executive director will provide the responses to the secretary of the LSB at the station for which a search is being conducted with the names and personal information obscured to assure confidentiality and gender, age, and other demographic neutral consideration. Five, the LSB or a committee created by the LSB to perform the search function will review the submissions and recommend a pool of candidates for the position under consideration but will not contact or interview candidates. It is recommended that five or more candidates be included for consideration by the ED, who makes the final decision of whom to hire for GM, and five or more candidates for consideration by the GM, who makes the final decision of whom to hire for PD. That's the motion.
Let me just note, I am asking Minerva to take over the chair. I wish to step down for this agenda item to be able to participate in the discussion. I'm sure that Minerva will see that Vanessa has got her hand up, and it may be that we will need to motivate the motion. So I'm stepping down. Minerva, are you able to take over the chair for now?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm able to take over. And I'm sorry, I see Vanessa's hand. Did I see hear someone else speaking?
Point of order, Serene.
All right. Serene, what's your point of order?
The board discussed this in December, and we agreed that the LSBs would have an opportunity to weigh in before the board picked it up again. That has not happened for all five LSBs, so I'm wondering why it's on the floor. I would ask that it be tabled or postponed, whichever the proper term is.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead and respond. Okay.
There was that discussion, but there was no motion taken. There was absolutely no action. And so, therefore, it was never agreed to table. It was discussed, but it was not decided by the board. Some LSDs have met, not all of them have, to discuss this, and it was not ever approved by the PNB to require that.
Chair.
Okay, and Vanessa has her hand up, so we'll go to her, and then Sean.
And then Sean.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Fred. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Serene's point was exactly mine. There was an agreement that we would wait. It was based on a motion that Ron made for all of the LSBs to have the opportunity to vote on this before it was brought back to the PNB. There's the larger issue as to whether this is even the appropriate way to change this bylaw. It affects the membership in that the LSBs are the representatives of the membership, and they're being stripped of any meaningful role in selecting their own GMs and PDs. They don't select the pool of candidates. They don't, they receive redacted resumes. There's no interaction. There's no interview. There's nothing. There's no real role. There was a collaborative, the current bylaws makes the process collaborative. This strips the power. We agreed that the LSBs would have input, would vote. We're not doing that.
All right. Sorry, thank you, Vanessa. Let's see here.
Jim Dingman.
All right, Jim, please. And Vanessa, would you take your hand down, please?
Ron and Sean.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Jim. Are you there?
Ron and Sean.
Clock started.
All right.
Okay.
The clock, guys, clock starts when I start to talk. First of all, thank you. This is a direct violation of Article 7, Section 3, which says specifically that the LSB specific powers and duties are to be to screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of general manager of its respective radio station, from which pool of approved candidates the executive director shall hire the station's general manager. The LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose. It further states that the committee will screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of station program director, from which pool of approved candidates the station's general manager shall hire the PD. Okay, we know about that. Essentially, this strips the LSBs of the power that they've had ever since we implemented these bylaws after the overthrow of the old PNB. So essentially what you're trying to do is implement a bylaw change which requires a different process. So I object to this. This is essentially aimed to eviscerate the power of the LSBs, and this should not be voted on. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Let's see. Next was Ron Pinchback, and then I think the next person was Sean. Go ahead, Correct. Ron.
Yeah. With all due respects to Ms. Young, we did have an agreement back in December. You know, we tabled this motion so that the LSBs would have an opportunity to weigh in on this. And that has not happened. It happened at PFW, and our station overwhelmingly, you know, objected to this. Okay? So, you know, no one can predict how the LSB is going to respond to this until they've had the opportunity to review this material, you know, and make a decision. This is the notion that there was no agreement and there was no promise made. That's a lie. Okay. There was an agreement. Okay. The agreement was that, they would give the LSBs time to weigh in on this. And then the board would take it up after that occurred. That has not occurred, as Serene pointed out. That has not occurred at all the stations. So, I say we table this, you know, this motion again until that takes place, you know, and that, you know, we have some serious questions about this measure in terms of, legality. Okay. You know,
your 90 seconds.
The personnel committee.
Thank you, Ron. Your time is up. I'm sorry. And the next person was Sean, please.
Thank you. As written, this motion is a perversion of the bylaws, if not a de facto violation of the bylaws. Per the bylaws, LSBs have the responsibility to, quote unquote, screen and select a pool of candidates. That cannot be accomplished by relegating LSBs to nothing more than collectors of redacted resumes and prohibiting from contacting the candidates, as this motion proposes. Furthermore, this motion provides no mechanism for how candidates become, quote-unquote, approved in order for the ED or the GM, as the case warrants, to make the final hire. Search committees can't make final recommendations simply by looking at stated work experience on a resume. It also doesn't specify if the ED is supposed to do the initial telephone interview, then an in-person interview, then the final interview. And is the ED going to report back to the respective LSBs to inform them how the candidates did in each of the rounds? I would recommend that this motion be sent back to the personnel committee to be amended or voted down or, has been suggested, tabled to the next meeting. Because we were, back in December, we said the 9th or the 16th we would deal with this.
Madam Chair, the topic timing has expired. I make a motion to extend this for 6 minutes.
Okay. Is there any objection to extending the time for 6 minutes regarding this motion? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move forward. And let's see here. Thank you, Sean, for your information. I saw Zach's name and then
Darlene's
Susan Young.
Darlene's up.
I'm
Zach,
sorry.
Susan and Teresa.
Zach.
Actually, Darlene is next.
Okay. Darlene, please go ahead.
Right. The bylaws, I was happy to see, exactly specifies screeners. The LSB is the screening process. In HR, a screener does all of the preliminary work and figures out what candidates are, at minimum, meeting all the requirements of the job posting and the job description. So it's exactly right that the LSB should be the screeners for this process. However, in the memo that I sent to everyone twice, when I described the HR process about non-discrimination and anti-bias procedures. I also pointed out that the LSB also has the responsibility of creating an anti-discriminatory management and staff at all of the stations. And this is a big point in that the, for the purposes of pushback on litigation, for crossing boundaries, crossing regulations, crossing laws, that making it up as you go along is pretty much
point of order.
It will do. Go ahead.
Point of order. You're the chair of this, so do you get more than 90 seconds? If so.
I'm sorry to say I'm not the chair, my dear.
Then your time is up.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, next was Zach, please.
Yeah, first I want to thank the Personnel Committee and KPFA's HR expert, Darlene, for developing a procedure that fully aligns with the bylaws, ensuring the LSB fulfills its role in identifying a pool of candidates while the ED retains the authority to make the final hiring decision. I think this motion represents a critical step towards strengthening Pacifica's hiring process. It creates a uniform, transparent, and efficient framework that not only complies with California labor laws, but also ensures we adhere to our foundation's mission of equity, diversity, and non-discrimination. Hiring the right leaders is foundational to the success of our station and our network. By standardizing how we review and recommend candidates, we reduce unconscious bias and focus on qualifications, experience, and alignment with our mission. These procedures will improve efficiency by streamlining communication between LSBs and the executive director while respecting the privacy of candidates and minimizing legal risks. Most importantly, this motion reflects the values of inclusion and fairness that Pacifica was founded upon. Strong, thoughtful hiring practices lead to strong leadership, and that is vital for our advancing our mission to inform, educate, and empower our communities. The LSBs are not losing meaningful flexibility or power, only the flexibility and power to waste time and put the foundation at risk, which certain members of this PNB and their allies are so expertly adept at doing. The LSBs cannot lose power they do not possess. When litigation arises, it is the PNB that must answer, not the LSB. The PNB has both the authority and the responsibility to act. I urge everybody to vote yes.
All right. Thank you, Zach. Let's see. We have Teresa.
Thank you very much for your patience. I'm on this board, and I'm not an attorney, and I'm not an accountant. I have a little bit of experience supervising people, but I really respect people who have HR, accounting, and legal experience. As has been mentioned, the LSB will select and screen a pool of candidates. It does not say how they do that, and I think this motion is a proper direction to the LSBs. As Zach just said, you cannot lose power that you do not possess. And I think this is a good amount of power. I will just give two examples. In one instance, I know in the last 20 years in Pacifica, there was an executive director who rejected all three LSB proposed candidates. So I don't know what criteria the LSB had for the GM, but the ED in that instance thought that none of them were qualified. So I think it's just really important that you have someone that has some professional experience. And another example, the candidates on a search committee had, someone from the search committee contacted. Let me just finish this sentence. Someone from the search committee contacted a candidate and persuaded them not to accept. So breach of confidentiality, which is a real mess.
Thank you, Teresa, for that information. Timekeeper, how?
We have 20 seconds on this topic now.
Madam Chair, oh. Mary Ann can't get her hand raised.
Okay. Mary Ann has not spoken, and with the 20 seconds, we'll allow her to go ahead.
I make a motion to exhaust the stack. Whoever's on the stack right at this point.
Okay. Whoever's on the stack and has not spoken. That's what we'll do, and it would be Mary Ann, and then we'll go ahead and move forward to vote. Everyone else.
Well,
Madam Chair.
Okay. Please.
I'm on.
Madam Chair.
I'm on. I haven't spoken.
I'd like to.
Excuse me.
Listen, you about to make
a ruling.
Point of order.
Excuse me.
Point of order.
Excuse me.
Call the two members who are interrupting the chair to order.
Here we go.
No,
okay.
Here we go. Point of order.
We need. Okay, what's your point of order?
The rules are that we are able to have a second round on this. This is a very important issue, and I think we should have everybody exhaust their opinion about this. Thank you.
Please go back to let Miriam speak, and then let's call a vote.
Okay, let me go ahead and, Jim.
May I be recognized, Madam Chair? I'd like to call the question.
Madam Chair, you said that you were going to have people who...
I second to call the question.
You were going to allow the folks...
Okay.
Here's
what we're going to do. There was a person who had not spoken. And my statement was to give her the opportunity to speak because everyone else has spoken. And once
Paul Durienzo.
Then we've got Paul and we've got Mary Ann. And after they speak, then we're going to move forward with calling the question. And well, it's already been done. Move forward to do the vote. Thank you.
A point of order. I question the judgment of the chair on this one.
All right. It'll be noted that you question my judgment. Thank you, Jim. All right. Mary Ann, please.
Thank you, ma'am. I apologize. I'm not sure what's going on with my computer here, but now I just want to say ditto on what Darlene said. And also, I think it is important that this particular item, which is so important, be adjudicated by the PNB. And mainly because, as we know, we get a lot of new people onto the local board. Many of them are just, you know, learning the ropes and they're just barely starting to get their feet wet and they're not really up to speed on, you know, it takes a while, as you all know, as I know from my own experience at Pacifica, that it takes a while before you get the hang of how things run and how things go. So because of the importance of this particular item, I think it's necessary for the PNB to handle it. And ditto what Darlene said. It doesn't say anything in the bylaws about, you know, that the LSB has to handle these things. So that's how I feel about it. And I hope some of you will agree with me. Thank you.
All right. And I think the other person was Paul. DeLorenzo, please, Paul.
Go ahead. DeLorenzo. Arguing on the merits of this motion is basically a waste of time because it's not an issue of the merits of whether it's a good idea or not. It's a legal issue about whether it's acceptable to the minority. And even if you have a majority and vote with the majority, you're going against the interests of the entire network because it's causing divisiveness amongst the minority that could lead to and is very divisive and leading to an inevitable legal battle, which we'll have to, the foundation, the PMB will have to pay for because people can't figure out a way forward without beating the hell out of each other. So, you know, in my opinion, and I'll just finish it up with this, folks should grow up and figure out a way to solve their problems in a way that doesn't look stupid to the whole world. Because if I was Hunter S. Thompson, I have enough material to make fun of you guys for the next 5 years of stuff that's gone on here. Grow up.
All right. Thank you, Paul. So,
Chair, point of order, please.
What is your point of order, Vanessa?
I'm not sure if it's a point of order. I'm asking for a roll call vote.
Please.
All right. We'll go ahead and move forward with the vote. And, Madam Secretary, can you do this? I think that's what we've been doing, a roll call vote. So let's go ahead with it. Thank you.
So just to be clear, the vote we're taking is on calling the question.
No,
so we're yes actually, stops debate.
No, we've gone beyond that because the temporary chair
okay. about
the
people's here. Let me go back and say, Julie, go ahead and finish your statement and then we'll move forward.
Okay? No, the point is I need to know what you all are voting on. I'm asking, is it on calling the question or is it on the original motion?
It's on the original motion, Julie.
Okay. So let me get rid of pulling the question out of the minutes.
Oh, wait a minute, Chair. Julie?
Excuse me.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Yes, darling.
Myla called the question and Fred seconded.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, let me go back and ask Myla. You called the question, correct?
I did call the question.
Okay.
And I apologize for having done that.
Okay, so you want to,
Because I want to go to a vote.
Okay, so, if it's okay with you and okay with Fred, then we'll go ahead and negate that call the question and let's move forward and vote on the motion. So, Julie, can you move forward with the calling the roll and we're voting on the motion that was brought forward by the personnel? Yes.
Madam Chair, let me just point out that I think Kaja has joined us.
Okay. Thank you. And welcome, Kaja. All right. Thank you again. So, Kaja. Julie, please go ahead. Kaja, please go ahead and call the roll.
Yes. Irene Adams.
I'm a pass.
Okay. Irene passes. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Teresa's a yes. Kaja Brown, we're voting on the motion, personnel committee motion, Kaja.
I'm going to pass for now.
Okay. Kaja passes. Donna Carter's not here. Paul DiRienzo.
No.
Paul's a no. Jim Dingaman.
No, this is a violation of Article 7.
Jim Dingaman's a no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No, ditto to Jim.
Vanessa's a no. Fred Dodsworth.
I'm going to support the motion to pass
Fred's
this.
A yes. Jan Goodman. I'll keep going. Heather Gray.
No.
Heather's a no. Evalia Jones.
Yes.
Evalia's a yes.
Jan Zach Goodman Caldier. Is a yes.
I'm sorry. Jan Goodman says yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I had trouble unmuting.
That's all right. Zach Caldier.
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Marianne's a yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback.
Absolutely not.
Ron's a no.
Action will be taken.
Excuse me. Myla Reason.
I vote yes.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes.
No.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts.
No to bylaw breaking.
Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders. You're the chair. Sorry.
Chair.
Hang on. It's just not the way my spreadsheet is. Harvey Wasserman.
Yes.
Harvey's a yes. Egberto Willis.
Yes.
Egberto's a yes. Susan Young.
Yes.
Susan Young's a yes. Let me go back because I have some people who passed. Irene Adams, you passed.
She's muted.
Let me keep going. Kaja Brown, you passed.
Yes.
Kaja's a yes. Minerva's still chairing this part. All right, we're back up to Irene.
Irene. She unmuted, but she's unmuted now.
Yes.
Irene's a yes. All right. Madam Chair, the yeses are 13 and the noes are 7.
Julie, did you vote?
I'm a secretary. I don't get to vote.
Good point. All right. You're right. You're not on the PNB yet.
Okay, please repeat the total. Please repeat the total again.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Were you asking me to repeat the totals?
Yes.
You didn't, Julie, Minerva.
You were interrupted.
Oh, okay. The yeses are 13 and the noes are 7.
Point of information. The chair voted. So it's actually 14 to 7.
Oh, hang on one second.
No, I didn't vote.
Oh, I thought I heard you say yes. My apologies.
No, I'm sorry. I did not vote. I'm going to abstain.
As Minerva's the chair at the moment, so yeah, and my formula is correct. The yeses are 13. No worries. So the motion carries.
Madam Chair, okay. I would like to resume chairing the meeting, if that's all right with you.
That is fine with me. Thank you.
I'm up for your hard work.
Minerva, you did a great job.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, I see Irene's hand is up. Susan, can...
Sorry, go ahead, Irene.
So, Susan, just, you know, I'd like to ask my questions on procedural matters. If it's not a tie vote, does the chair need to vote?
So, I think there are disagreements about this, but the advice I have had from a parliamentarian I respect is that the chair only votes either to make or break a tie. So if it's tied and the chair can break it, if it isn't tied but one vote would tie it, the chair can do that. We've got two more
hands. Thank you.
You're welcome. Darlene, Serene. Darlene first.
Yeah, I'd like to ask if every director has taken the memo that was sent to them by me on the HR opinion on how we deal with our discrimination and unconscious bias in hiring, and you've shared that with the LSBs as I requested. Otherwise, I guess I should get the roster for each and every LSB member on all the stations and send it to them directly. Is there any director who has taken the time to read and pass it?
So, Darlene, I'm glad you've asked that. Let's move on. It's important that people do that, but let's follow up afterwards on that, okay? Because we've got to keep going with the agenda.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got Serene and Jim. Serene first.
So thanks. Someone muted me after I voted, so I was speaking and you guys couldn't hear my question. Susan, I was asking whether you voted in that last section.
Yes, I did, because that's why I stepped down from the chair. I did.
Okay. And how did you vote? I didn't hear it.
I voted in favor.
Thank you.
So it's in the roll call. Okay. We've got the next agenda item, but Ron, Irene, Jim, Ron.
Madam Chair, Board, I can't believe that you're going back on your word to involve the LSB.
Ron, I'm calling you out of order. That's already been addressed. We've moved on to the next agenda.
Listen, it's been addressed.
No, I'm sorry, Ron. You are arguing with the chair, and I'm finding you out of order.
Okay, find me out of order, but this has not been addressed.
Next,
further action will be taken.
Jim Dingman?
Yes. I have read that memo, and that should be discussed. The memo that Darlene just mentioned. And I think that all the search committees I've ever been on have reflected exactly what she said. So anyway, and I agree with Ron about this completely.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. The next agenda item is the ED report. As we have heard, the ED is incommunicado because of basically the fires. I am grateful that we are joined by the interim general manager for WBAI, Bob Henley, and the interim program director for WBAI, Keziah Glow. who are among the people in the system who are backing up KPFK in this major time. Let me just say that not only do I respect the work that Bob and Keziah are doing at WBAI to bring into compliance with FCC to change the programming to be current, relevant, at the front lines. But both Bob and Keziah have extraordinary experience dealing with, emergency situations and, dealing with things like 9/11, COVID, the Superstorm Sandy. Bob was at, was a print journalist. He worked at WNYC, at NPR, New York Times. He has expertise in first responder workforce emergency operations, all of this. He understands how to be on the front line with us right now. And Keziah is equally impressive. She's been a member of the board of directors of South Bronx Emergency Network, a community organization active in disasters. She has frontline experience, and both of them are bringing this to help KPFK. Let me also mention that this is a multi-network effort. WPFW, Miyuki, has been crafting PSAs for KPFK. Not only has KPFK gone through a big management change and they're getting their feet on the ground, but one of the greatest disasters we have seen in this nation in a very long time has basically seized Los Angeles. And it has dimensions in everything that we are concerned about. So I'm grateful for the expertise. I'm grateful for you all stepping in. And Bob and Keziah, would you be kind to give us a little background? And I think others from KPFK would be able to add into. I know Myla was on the air. Harvey was on the air. So please go ahead.
Sure. So thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. So one of the things that this management team has been in place since June. And so early on, we decided that we wanted to use our expertise to be able to put BI in the center of the civic conversation by making sure that we had news information that reflected what was actually happening in New York City and the region. And so Destiny provided quite an opportunity on September 26th when our sitting mayor was indicted, which was the first time that a sitting mayor of New York City had been indicted. And so we were able to, first we had the information prior to the announcement of the indictment the night before. So we started working late at night, confirming facts, bringing it to the air. And then the next day we're able to use, various feeds so that we brought our listeners the entirety of the drama that day, including Mayor Adams in front of the mayor's mansion, making a full-throated defense and being heckled as only you can be heckled in New York. Then we came to Damian Williams to 426 Federal Plaza, brought the sound of the reading of the indictment, and then brought people to the Red Room in City Hall, where City Council President, Speaker Adrian Adams faced the most cameras of her entire professional life. We brought 6 hours of that soundtrack in real time, and then brought that to the air, and at the same time provide an opportunity for our listeners to interact and respond to history as it was unfolding. This was we have now been bringing press conferences and debates that are happening. New York City just debated the future of, for the first time in 60 years, its land use, where every city council member, all 51, had to express their opinion. We brought that live. And so, in essence, doing this thing is training and getting your team ready to be able to break into programming at a moment's notice. And so what we do is we've established through our careers relationships with the fire department, the police department, all of the unions that are involved with delivering first responder services, healthcare. In fact, in our last pledge drive, over $50,000 of the $140,000 that we brought in above our, we brought like 17,000 above our goal, came from unions, particularly healthcare and first responder unions. So in New York City right now, we're considered the radio station that first responders, particularly EMTs, doctors, and the healthcare profession listen to. And so this is a source of information. And so you build emergency capability, not on the day of the emergency, but by having relationships and interaction throughout the calendar year. And so it's important for Pacifica stations. And we have some great examples of where it's already happening. We have KMUD, which is in Humboldt County, a Pacifica affiliate, which distinguishes itself as a national leader on fire reporting. Within the Pacifica network, there's tremendous talent. And this was part of the project that Kazai and I were working on. Some of you may not know, we did this project of working to bring the conventions where we work very closely with the affiliates. And we found low power FM stations that belong to Pacifica in Milwaukee and Chicago and stood up news gathering involving dozens of people in 48 hours in Milwaukee and in Chicago. That was funded with $100,000 from unions representing 2 million households. So what I'm saying is the idea of being able to bring breaking news collectively throughout the network, we have an ability to create, if you will, a virtual flying squad that doesn't have to travel to the place, but can come and aid. So today what happened, Maggie was reaching out, Chris Lapuza, who is our business manager and webmaster, working with her, was able to get a President Biden's speech in real time on the website when he spoke extemporaneously about what the federal government was doing, and get up online reflecting information that people could go to in real time. Now, we are standing up experts that are from around the country about the occupational exposure related, because we have 9/11 World Trade Center experience. And we know that for first responders and civilians caught up in this, there's a significant issue of what's happening right now in terms of air quality. All of these things and all of these skills can be brought together at a moment's notice. And that's what we're trying to do. Kazai, would you like to talk a little bit?
Sure. You know, some of the work that I've done was during COVID at its height. What we did was we broadcasted resource information.
Move out of my space.
Oh, okay. So at some point, you know, it would be great to have a connection with agencies within LA to say, this is where you can get food. This is where you can find pantries. This is where you can find information. And if you're able to broadcast that information to the community, you then become a resource for the community. There are so many different outlets in this that you can reach out to. And when these situations happen, it's actually an opportunity. When South Bronx Emergency Network deployed, it was during COVID, and it was an opportunity for us to utilize our resources and get into the community. And that's what we did. And so we can see an opportunity like this for the network to come together. And, you know, as you said, Mayuki is doing the broadcast, but it's an opportunity for us to build our network. This is not really a tabletop, but we can treat this as a situation where we can deploy ourselves and say, this is what the goal is. So we've been working on creating, you know, programming. I've reached out to Maggie. She's put me in touch with the IPD, and I'm hoping that we would be able to, like I said, put out broadcasts that can inform the community where to go or where to find resources and things of that nature.
Can I add really quickly? It's Harvey. I'm in LA.
Yeah, I'm recognizing Harvey. Go ahead.
The thing we really need also, I'm in the middle of three fires, and it's very hard. I'm glued to the tube. It's very hard to figure out where the fires are and how they're progressing. And if KPFK can help with that, you know, because people who are in houses who are not yet, as best I can tell, I've got three fires within 3 miles. But you wouldn't know it to look for my house. But, you know, and I'm not getting complete information on the TV. So if KPFK can somehow broadcast to people where the fires are in relation to the various neighborhoods, that would be helpful.
Myla?
You know, you probably know that the KPFK listening area is a vast area. And I had been hoping for something similar to what Harvey is saying, I've been finding a lot of information on Facebook about resources, places where people can take their animals. They have small animals that need shelter, or and there are many areas for people to evacuate to depending on where they are. I don't believe that very detailed information of that sort is being broadcast at this time on KPFK. I haven't heard it. I'm not listening to KPFK 24/7 because I haven't found as much information as I want and that I get from YouTube and from various websites. I did see the excellent information that has finally been put up on the KPFK website. But it is pretty basic. One of the really great links, Harvey, that is on the KPFK website now gives you a link to the CAL FIRE website, which shows you where all of the fires are. And this morning when Mitch Jezrich was simulcasting on KPFK, some of you may know that KPFA's very excellent Letters and Politics show co-host or host, Mitch Jezrich, also simulcasts on KPFK. He opened up the phone lines from 10 to 11 today, 10 to 11 a.m., and allowed KPFK listeners.
Your 90 seconds is up.
Can we come back around? So, well, can you finish up? You're talking about with Mitch.
Thank you. Thank you. So, I was able to call in and provide some of the information that I found on that, CAL FIRE website at that time.
So, I'd like to add a couple of things. One, I listened to the Mitch Jezrich. It was excellent. I mean, and I am, again, this multi-station collaboration is really, really powerful. And I spoke to one of the resource people who, Bob and Kasaya know in New York, and he advised that the smoke in Los Angeles is toxic, seriously toxic, and that it is very much like 9/11, and people are not being given the advice that they need. And so everybody should be masking up. This kind of resource and how we work together with what's available with the experience of the expertise from people like Kasaya and Robert, and with what the multi sources are that we all have in LA. I mean, I've been glued to the TV, and I've been grateful that there are two MSNBC reporters who are from Pacific Palisades. I'm from Pacific Palisades. My hometown is gone. So this, and we're going to have more of this. These are complex stories, and within the context of changing administrations, Project 2025, all of that, we need to really up our game. Are there more questions for comments about this or questions for Bob and Kasaya?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, this is a good example. I'm glad that people are cooperating because this is precisely the kind of situation where the entire network should cooperate. But I'm just curious in terms of Los Angeles. Like Susan, I have family in Pasadena who've been evacuated along with two little kids and another relative in Beverly Hills near the Hollywood sign. She had to split down to Palm Springs last night because of the thing in Runyon Canyon. Now, I'm just curious, you know, has the station completely dropped its normal programming to deal with this? Because this is a, you know, unprecedented situation. And I don't listen to KPFK. I just want to hear what you guys are doing because this is like, you know, those of us here who are in New York and 911, Paul and I will remember very vividly being outside when the damn buildings fell.
Remember? I remember, man.
And then being forced out by the cops later in the day around 5 o'clock after 7 collapsed. So I know I'll just brings up all this. Now, so I'm just wondering, this is the kind of situation where normal programming should be suspended completely. And the issue of dealing with this intelligently in all sorts of ways, including practical ways, should be adopted. And I want to know if that's going on in Los Angeles, you know, because some people want to do their airtime in the midst of like Rome burning and stuff like that. And I just wonder,
90 seconds
is just going on right now.
So, okay, so let me just comment, Tim. Tim, we did not ask Maggie to come tonight because they're on the front lines, and we're grateful that Bob and Kosiah can address this. Is this Milo? Do we come back to you now? Okay,
can
so
I respond to Jim though, or no? I was monitoring the air all day, so I don't know if I should respond. You tell me.
No, you should. Absolutely. But Mila, do you want to respond to him first, or do you want Bob?
No, I'd like to hear Bob first.
So we were producing the State of the City address with Mayor Adams live, but we did keep our ear on KPFK, and Jim's point is valid. There is a kind of disassociative, surreal thing that happened where they went with a yoga programming telling people that they should breathe outside. There was a total disconnect between what was on the air and the situation of the population, which undermines our ability to claim that we're a valid license holder. I mean, one of the primary responsibilities of an FCC license holder is to describe in real time the things that the listenership is facing. We saw actually a collapse of this in the western part of North Carolina, and FEMA now and FCC are addressing the fact that radio, which is the ultimate thing. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that say radio's passe, but in the climate we're in right now, it is the only way for people to glean situational awareness. Cell phones and internet are useless, absolutely useless. And if you depend on it, you put your family and yourself at risk. And so I was concerned about the disconnect between what was happening in Los Angeles and what was on the air. And that's why we've pulled together to try to make it better.
Milo, I'm going to go to Fred and then back to you.
My comment's really short. I, as a reporter, covered fires, and you need to know that when a house burns, it is one of the most toxic things you can possibly imagine. It's not wood. It's all these terrible things that we have underneath our kitchen cabinet and in our walls and on our sofas. It's poison. And when 9/11 happened, I was also a reporter, and the CDC claimed that the air was clean.
EPA, right, EPA.
No,
Christy Todd Whitman.
That too. The CDC, I was dealing with Julie Gepperding at the time. The CDC and the EPA both claimed that the air was clean, and there was a reason for that. They didn't want to cause a panic, but it was certainly not clean, right, and it was certainly toxic, and the results of that are being seen today in the outburst of cancer incidents all across New York.
Some of us are part of that whole thing, Fred.
So, Jim? Yeah, Mila, Jim, Harvey.
Okay, so I really appreciate what Jim said, and Robert, I'm in a total agreement. When we're in emergency situations such as this, it's really important to suspend programming that does not address what's going on. I did, you know, Snyder, our global village host, music, at least he had a few things, important things to say about the fire, but then it went on to programming that really wasn't relevant. I would like to say that KPFK listening area is downwind from a nuclear power plant that sits on numerous earthquake faults and that could melt down at any moment. Toxic radioactive cloud could hit the KPFK listening area within 5 hours. I'm not quite sure what KPFK could do about it if that were to happen. We're hoping to shut down the nuclear plant so that we won't face that calamity.
Okay, Jim, then Harvey, then Paul.
Well, I saw on TV today that Mount Wilson, they were talking about the repeaters on Mount Wilson getting threatened. So, like, you know, I got to say, like, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous to actually hear that people want to do normal programming in the midst of this. This is really ridiculous. And really, I remember 2 years ago, people were talking about going to FEMA to get money for precisely this kind of problem, you know, and nothing ever happened about that. So, you know, yeah, this is, you know, people should be really honed in on what they can do to help the people of Los Angeles and the greater area there. It's just nuts to even think that you want to do your normal show. So I hope that common sense prevails on in this one. I mean, and it's, you know, to have people from New York coming in and helping you guys. I mean, that's great, but you know, come on, people in Los Angeles should get it together. It's like, you know, it's, these are the kind of things that drive one nuts when you think about how you could really do things to really transform how the station is thought locally by the public instead of only having 0.1% of people listening to it, which I know is what's going on right now.
Jim and Harvey, then Paul.
Well, do we have, this is Harvey, do we have an actual protocol for going 24/7 with disaster broadcasts? Do we know what to do when if we're going to turn off our programming? We can't just sit there. Do we take phone calls? Do we do police reports? Do we advise people where to go? And also the big one or one of the big ones is the positioning of the fires. Like I say, I'm surrounded by three fires here. I have no way of knowing. I'm looking 24/7 at the TV and I have no way of knowing where to go. So I think maybe we need to have a some kind of project here to prepare for disaster broadcasting in a 24/7. I'm not sure that we have the protocol to do it. Maybe I'm
wrong.
That's
the point of this conversation.
Can I interject here? So one thing I want to say is that in disaster preparedness, you have to prepare before the disaster actually happened, right? And so when you get into a situation that we're in right now, the best thing not to do is to point fingers and to get upset about what we don't have. What we do in disasters is that we look at what we have. And so we could spend all day talking about what went wrong, or we could actually figure out what resources we have. So when COVID hit, and I want to give some information, South Bronx is one of the poorest districts in the United States, right? So when you live in those districts, you're not getting any help. No one is going to come for you. It's very close to what happened in Hurricane Katrina. So what we said was, you have to be able to take care of yourself because no one is going to come for you. And so it's really important that you understand that the responders are about 3% of the population in New York City. They're actually going to respond to their neighborhoods. So when you're left in a district that is poor, nobody's coming for you. So that was a pivotal time when we said we had to create something in order for us to stay alive, right? So these are the moments where we as a network will say, hey, what do you have? Bob is an expert at, he's an expert journalist. Mayoki is going to put together the broadcast. This is the time when we would actually say, hey, Jim, what can you give? Right. So we come together and we create our plan and we use this as a tabletop, but it's a real life situation. And by tomorrow, we would brainstorm and we would help them create their programming. This is really how it happens. So when you're not prepared, and I'm only speaking because I'm literally on the board of directors of South Bronx Emergency Network. I am the creator of the first CERT team in Community Board 3. Before that, there was no CERT teams. It was in the early 2000s I created it. And so we had a great cohort and we came together. And so then we started hearing this emergency preparedness. What I want to say is that WHCR, we have an emergency broadcast network. And we've been talking about this at WBAI because it has 24-hour manned, the ability to have 24-hour manned engineering. We don't have that last component yet, but we're working on that. So you have to use what you have. So this is a situation where we can say we can teach this radio station how to put together live programming. We can give them our feeds. There are so many different things that we can do, but what we can't do is sit around and talk about what we don't have. This is how it works. So right now, I want you to remember the fires are actually happening, right? So our strategies should be, what are we going to do moving forward? And that's really how emergency preparedness works. It happens in real time because you have a need for it. I yield the floor.
Thank you. I think I'm up next.
Yes, you are, but hang on a minute. We are we are up against time. Okay, so what I would like to do is to request a 10 minute, no, I'm getting a shaking head. We're up against time for this item. Also, we're not getting to minutes. The secretary would like for us to be able to get to minutes, but I suggest we devote the next meeting to minutes and people can read them in advance, but we need to be able to get those done. So, we're up against time for, I mean, she's giving me a big nasty look.
Yes,
we're up against time for, time certain for open session. And frankly, I'm suggesting that we adjourn at the end of open session because there are a lot of us who need to go and see what's happening with the fire. Sure. I've got Heather, I've got Jim, I've got Fred, I've got Ron.
Paul.
Heather.
Yeah, Paul.
Sorry, Paul.
I see Paul's next. First? Next.
Paul,
thank
go
you.
Ahead.
Sure.
So,
this is, wait, can I finish my point? I've like been waiting nicely.
Can you let me get my information, Paul? How many seconds, Susan?
Okay. Let's give everybody 60.
Thank you.
All right. So,
yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Sure. Thank you. So the way to do it is I think not so much breaking in for long periods of time unless it's a dire emergency like 9/11, but 5 minute news breaks. You're already doing it. People are doing it at PFW. We're doing in New York. We need 5 minute news breaks coordinated, obviously not the exact same, but sometimes maybe, and sometimes at some point. But we need 5 minute news breaks at the top of every hour and to do it religiously and to do it real. And that way we can coordinate the news on those 5 minute news breaks, between all the stations for these kind of emergencies. And we don't have to do that all the time if people are unhappy with that idea for some reason. We could do it on a temporary basis during emergencies. And already we are in place to do it. I mean, people are already doing it all over the network. And so, also it makes you remember the Pacifica Network news. Also, well, Kazaya doing a wonderful job, by the way, it has my full support for the great job she's doing. Kazaya, made some excellent points. I have a friend, because I might know him. I'm finishing Eitan Edwards, who works in, he's in Toronto right now, but works with a lot of this kind of preparedness work, and we should be doing more preparedness. What do we do when society collapses? Are we ready for the possibility, and we know it's possible, of society collapsing? And I don't mean that as some crazy, you know, thing, you know, it really seems like it might happen, and, or could happen, and we should.
Well, let's start with this fire. I think we're at the end of-
Yeah. Society collapsing. What do we do?
Understood. Let's start with the fire. Okay, Heather, then Jim, then Ron, then Mila, then Harvey, then Fred. Heather.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be quick. I was going to say that we need to have some sort of, there needs to be some sort of plan or something in the case of emergency. We need to have a better understanding of as Dr. King would say, where do we go from here? What do we do? But I think there have already been suggestions, Susan, but I would like to actually explore with the affiliates and see what various affiliate stations are doing about this as well. Yeah, so I'm going to work on doing that and getting back to the board about it. Thank you.
Great. Jim, Ron.
Well,
Jim.
The fire thing has to be done now. I mean, forget about, like, you know, planning for this. It has to be done now. And, you know, I don't know what they're doing in Los Angeles. I mean, are you just suspending normal programming? Are you actually you know, having people here's, you have to go into a talk show kind of format. People calling up saying, okay, where's your problem? And then, you know, I'm watching Channel 7 and locally on, in ABC on the station in Los Angeles to get constant updates. So it's not that big an imagination to figure out what to do right now. It's just, are you doing it? Because people coming in from New York, yeah, great. They can come in and say certain things, but they're not in Los Angeles following what the hell's going on in each of these local neighborhoods. So it doesn't seem to be that difficult to do. People just got to get off their ass and not do normal programming and go.
KPFK has been gutted.
What?
KPFK has been gutted.
Gutted? Well, at least you got all the producers there. You got producers there.
Okay, I mean, so You're right. It needs it. So, and I'm going to ask that Bob and Kazaya and all of the directors from KPFK follow up with Stephanie to put together an action plan for KPFK. Sorry, Ron, then Mila, then Harvey, then Fred.
34 seconds, Chair.
Mm-hmm.
34 seconds on the subject.
We're going to exhaust this stack. Ron.
It's a good that we're coming up with this plan. It's good because it's needed. But I want to remind you also that we've got something even worse on the horizon, deportations. And that's going to affect every freaking community, you know, north, south, east, and west. Nobody's going to be spared. So I think we should, whatever plan we come up with, we better include that as an agenda item. You know, what do we do when the deportations start? You know, how do we provide services and information to those folks that are being affected? You know, how do we challenge that process? So all of that should be on the table also. And that's coming to a city near us quite soon. You know, as soon as this guy gets his power, he says he's going to do this.
67.
So we have to be prepared, you know, on day one to get people information about what resources are available to them to challenge their deportations. It's going to be a mess.
Ron, time up. Myla, then Harvey, then Fred, and Jim, you've already spoken. We are exhausting the stack, and that's it, Fred. Myla?
Yeah, Bob, I was just wondering, I'm hoping, you know, we've been having regular press conferences, including the fire department, et cetera. Has that been broadcast regularly on KPFK, or are we?
That's what we're trying to set them up to do, because we automatically go to those in New York all the time.
Right.
So there is while we're not presuming, there's actually mechanical things that need to happen. You don't have to be in Los Angeles to help them know how to link it to master control, make sure that you write announcements that are previewing it, and make sure that everybody, though it's happening on your air, is happening on your website. That we can help them do.
Great, because, you know, they're making announcements about where to go to shelter and where to take your animals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm hoping that information that is imparted during those press conferences can be repeated throughout the day.
Yes.
Right. It's also what ends up happening is when first responders know they can listen in the field to your broadcast, it reinforces you as a provider of reliable information.
Great. Great. Thank you.
Okay, Harvey?
I want to strongly agree with Ron and what we just said. I think that as a network, Pacifica needs to establish an identity of a go-to source, A, for help with deportations, B, for help with when the Gestapo starts picking people up, where people can get legal assistance, and for public calls that they can make. And we also need to have a clear protocol on how to deal with natural disasters. My sister was just in the hurricane in Tampa. We could have provided, I think we have an affiliate there, but as a network as a whole, everybody knows somebody in Florida. We need to be able to identify it as a go-to emergency network. It would be an extremely, and I'd be more than happy to serve on the committee to do that.
It's very important to understand that one of the things that's happened is the collapse of local news is actually a civil defense problem.
Yes.
And so exactly. The lack of authenticated local information and replacing it with synthetic, analytic-driven corporate stuff is why we can't reach consensus on even who won the last election.
Right. So we need to establish a written protocol for dealing with these three issues, deportations, political arrests, and disasters. And that would be a huge role for this network to play, and somewhere somebody should call a committee.
Thanks, Harvey.
Let's get to it.
Okay, Fred's the last one.
As a person who's worked in a newsroom most of my adult life, this is exactly what the news does. And this goes back to my issue that we need to have news bureaus in every one of our stations. It really is critical. It is important because of natural disasters, which are going to get worse. And it's even more important because of political disasters, which are going to be unfathomable. We really, really need to have local news, even if it's just one person in every station, and that we needs to be organized nationally. Thank you.
You need more than that.
Okay. So you're the last one. And we're past time certain. I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
No, there's a second.
Is there any objection, and let me thank Bob and Keziah for being with us tonight and for the amazing work you're doing. And this is the start of building a network capability. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So
Keziah, you guys are gods.
Thank you, Sue.
Great work.
We are hereby adjourned, and it is 10:08 Eastern time. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. No news.
Good night, all.
Wait a minute. Aren't we having executive session?
No. We're adjourning the meeting. I asked that we adjourn the meeting early without executive session.
I missed that particularity.
Got it. You.
The executive is dealing with fires around her house.
And I'm exactly out of here, guys. Right. Bye.
All right.
Actually, I, you know, like.
Time to stop the recording.